It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den. The show that is better than segregated schools.
Mm-hmm.
You could join our chat room, the Den Pen, by going to davinsden.com and clicking on air. If you want to call in, we'll take calls. What the fuck? 845-986-8804. 845-986-8804. I am the host with the least, Davin Rosenblatt. I am joined by two shows in a row. Pip Helix.
Look at that. Pip, hey, everybody.
It's Pip Two Shows.
Yeah, that's my new name.
And, Joe, an hour or so. Pip and I will do the heavy lifting, and then Joe will waltz in and be battered by me.
Yeah, just brutalized first second he walks in.
Last week he deserved it. This week we'll see if he does as well. On the show, a lot of School of Fools stuff. A judicial nominee won't say whether the ruling on desegregation was right or not by the Supreme Court. Daddy and Daughter Dance gets canceled due to gender sensitivity.
Mm-hmm.
And a school play gets canceled due to racial sensitivities. And it's been a long time. We'll check in with Annie Poo.
Yes.
Annie Jackson. I am tired. It's been a long day for me. I'm happy to do this. Glad you guys are here. But yeah, it's been a long day. Woke up to the 30 minutes of ass exercises.
I'm sorry. I hope that you mean your own.
Nope, just pounding random asses. No, you do this workout stuff, and today was ass day on the workout thing.
Wait a minute, Tuesday's always ass day.
Yeah, when you come in.
Yes.
So then I drove an hour to Jersey to write about Joe's life with Chip.
Yes.
Joe was not there.
Right.
Then I after 3.5 hours of writing, with Chip and I got a lot accomplished. Hopefully Joe likes what we wrote about his life.
And then, it's like, does he have a choice?
No.
Oh.
And then come home, finish up the show prep for this. Daughter comes home, left stuff at school, wanted to strangle the kid for homework, left homework at school. Had to go out and do that.
Mm.
Come back, and so we'll do our little radio show. And then I did some casting for a show that I'm doing with Kevin Israel. By
nice.
Doing some casting, I sent Pip a text, and she agreed. and then we'll have a meeting after our radio show, Chip, myself, and Joe.
About busy day.
It is a busy day.
Yeah.
And I might have landed a gig, might have landed a roast for like next week, which involves writing 20 minutes of material about a specific person, and 1 week is not a lot of time.
No.
So, and then tomorrow's a busy day. So a lot of busy stuff. A lot of busy stuff, but we're here. We're right now. Now, so we last left you. There was a little bit of a problem where your brother was staying.
Oh,
a bodega in the reception area, and Walter and I were not pleased at all.
No,
we sided with you that this was wrong, and we rather insisted that you do something about this.
Yes, and I tried to call the person who was in charge of personnel, like the employees. I think that she did try to call me back, but didn't leave me a message. So it was, it's hard because it's during the day, I'm at work. So the phone tag thing wasn't working. I decided that I had to actually get over to the rehab earlier rather than later. So I would bump into the day crew and people who would actually care about this having happened.
So the day crew is better than the night crew.
Well, no, I don't mean that. I mean, like, the day workers, like people who are in charge, are there during the day.
And she's a day worker, this receptionist?
No, she seems to be a nighttime weekend person.
Nights and weekends.
Yeah. So I went in, and you know, they have a meeting with you. You know, this is the head of this is the head of that. And
tell you the whole cast of characters who's going to be dealing with your loved one.
Yeah, they have that when you first get there. And so I sat in on that with my brother, and you know, who's the head of therapy, who's the head of this, blah blah blah. And so when I walked in, it was interesting because usually there's this really nice one that's there.
Receptionist?
That I talk to all the time. And then there's, you know, Marge, who was having her little impromptu flea markets.
Yeah, if you didn't listen to last week, go fuck yourself. But if you didn't listen last week, Pip, there's this receptionist, Marge, who sells, like, free stuff, like the shampoos you get from hotels, and she opens up shop while you're just trying to see your loved one.
Yeah, you're trying to, like, sign in to the book saying, you know, what room you're going to and what time you're there. It's just like, would you like some lotion?
Yes. Could I use it right here? Because most places frown on that.
Yeah, they do. No, they frown the minute you walk in.
The minute I walk in, they
yes.
frown.
Yeah, there you go.
I haven't even brought up lotion. And then it's like, no.
No, no, get out! and they're all little, like, free samples of things. So it was a bizarre little moment.
You know when you see shit like that, like at a flea market or a garage sale?
Yeah.
Somebody put out stuff and go, really? This is like the, really? It's the shit's for free.
It's
but I guess
freebies.
People buy it. So
yeah.
Like, you know, it's good if you have to travel, I guess.
Right. I guess it's like if they see sample sizes or something. Or, you know, sometimes people get free samples from work, you know, or whatever. And it's like you might go, these are little tiny bottles of whatever. But a lot of people like that stuff.
Sure.
It's good
on airplanes. I just don't know if you open up shop. At your real job.
No.
Don't know if I would do that.
No.
That'd be funny after comedy shows if I sold shit like that. Like, I didn't sell comedy DVDs. I'm selling, like, shampoo and shit from the hotel.
Or you
toothbrushes from the dentist.
Or you made people pay for coupons.
you
know what I mean?
Hey, coupon 75 cents off. Give me 25 cents.
Yeah, right.
People do that shit.
I know.
I see airline vouchers. Like, people do that. Or for, like, Disney World and stuff.
Sure.
I get it.
Sure.
But, again, time and a place.
Yeah. It was just bad. So it reminded me of another thing that happened, but that's another story. So I walked in, what was it, yesterday? Yeah. I whipped over from the day program, and there was a sign on the desk that said, there's no receptionist today, so just please sign in to see your person.
They don't care anymore.
So no,
nobody's taking home a crippled person.
I was like, that's interesting.
Uh-oh.
So I walked over to where the social worker
is. Somebody heard the radio show.
I wondered how they knew.
Okay.
I walked over to the social worker area, and I saw that he was sitting in a room with two of the other people that I had met at my first meeting there. So I stuck. He saw me, and he said, oh, do you need help? And he went over into his office, and I said, look, you know, there's nothing wrong with the one that's here most of the time, but there's this one on the weekends. And he goes, she was trying to sell you stuff? And I went, what? I didn't even say anything.
Good for you, nut-no.
Yeah,
good for you.
Yeah, well, I didn't even say it yet, and he knew.
Yeah, but that's good.
Yeah.
It's good because, you know, you didn't know before Walter and I intervened. You were a little, they didn't know if you were going to say anything.
Oh, no, I was absolutely going to say something.
We felt like you weren't.
No, I absolutely was. You guys jumped on me, but I was like, there's no need. I'm going to say something. No.
But maybe the story should have been after you said something. Maybe you fucked up.
Yeah. No. I think that it was fine because I said, oh, you know about it. And he goes, not this weekend, the week and before. And I said, yeah, exactly. So you guys know? And he goes, yeah. She started doing that about 6 months ago, and she was told to stop. And then somebody, you know, said something that she's doing it again, and she lied that she's not. And I said, oh, she most assuredly is.
Oh.
And then I pulled out my show and tell of the stuff that I had purchased.
Well, you encouraged her.
I kind of did, but it was funny. And I was like, I need show and tell. Nobody would believe me unless I had the stuff.
Yeah, they would, because you can get, like, shampoo anywhere.
I guess, but I was just like, you know.
You encourage.
I suppose I did encourage her, but it was funny.
You know, no. If people don't get, like, the oranges on the side of the road in the Bronx, they wouldn't sell oranges on the side of the road in the Bronx.
No.
Somebody's buying the oranges.
Somebody is buying the oranges. Are they good oranges?
I've never bought them. I'm not that person. I don't encourage bad behavior. There's legitimate grocers that are being harmed by that.
I might buy the oranges.
You would buy the oranges.
Yeah, but I don't want you to squeegee my car. Get the hell away from my car.
I don't even know if they have squeegees anymore in the city.
Oh, filthy squeegee.
Oh, really?
Oh, You know, people used to come up with a dirty rag.
Oh, back
and wipe
in the day.
Yeah.
Giuliani got rid of all that.
I know. And that was actually a good thing.
America's mayor.
Yeah. Yeah. Well. The funny thing was that I brought the one little lotion and the one little cheap necklace that was a free gift from a local jeweler when you bought stuff at Christmas time. And I recognized it as such because I'd gotten such a thing from them before.
Uh-huh.
I knew exactly where it was from.
You shop at the same place as the homeless lady who's working in reception.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a good look for me, isn't it?
It's not a surprising look, but it's a look.
So they were talking about that I was in the next room. So he goes, "Oh, let me just show them this stuff." So I peeked my head in and I told them the story. Mm-hmm. What I told last week. And so they were just so astounded that it was like, they said, we talked to her about it and she lied or she minimized. And I said, no, this is how it went down. And they're like laughing. They go, "This isn't funny, but it's so absurd that we have to laugh."
It because, should be in a show.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just, they were incredulous. And they're like, "It's even better, you know, your telling of it with props."
It's true.
Yes.
Props make everything better.
So they already knew. And I didn't ask. I wanted to ask, is that what the sign today is about?
Oh, you had to get, you don't have answers?
I don't know if that's what the sign that day was about.
Well, it's a little disappointing. I mean, after the buildup, I would say, so what did you guys do?
Well, the lady did say to me, "Do you know anybody looking for a receptionist job?"
Okay.
So I believe she was let go.
Well, I guess she'll have to take her traveling flea market someplace else.
Yeah, probably join me when I finally do have
such a fucking stupid move.
Because
you're getting, you know, you're making more money doing that than you are selling free shit.
Absolutely.
Why would you endanger your?
Why would you do you endanger your regular gig by selling 50-cent?
It's not worth it.
Hotel shampoos.
It's not worth it.
Stupid.
Which is probably why she's doing what she's doing. You know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm glad you nutted up.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that you've helped the unemployment rate rise.
I know.
Not very patriotic of you, but you know. God bless Trump. He'll take care of it. So we'll be fine.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll be fine. Our dearly beloved president.
Yes.
Well,
what's going on?
Last week I stated we went to the wife and I went to the Bon Jovi concert.
Yes.
At the Prudential Center in Newark, New Jersey. And the food dilemma we suffered.
Oh, yes.
Because there was no hamburgers. They only had cheeseburgers. And we asked them to make hamburgers, and they wouldn't make hamburgers.
This was incredibly puzzling.
Yes. I don't think people probably think I make this shit up.
I know.
I don't.
No, it's real.
This stuff's real. I just happen to have a format to blow it up like you'd like to.
Yeah.
That's the only difference.
Yeah.
It's like I'm not looking for incompetence and stupidity. It just is drawn to me.
It's just everywhere. It's everywhere today.
Yeah. So then last week I went to see the Devils practice at the Prudential Center before they started the playoff run.
Oh, okay.
My buddy invited me, asked me if I wanted to go. I'm like, yeah, sure. I'd love to go see the Devils practice. Why the hell not? Never been to a hockey practice. Went to the Jets training camp a couple times.
Oh,
football.
Neat.
So I'd never seen that. It was nice. Very very fan friendly. So we're sitting there.
Don't they call those scrimmages?
No, they weren't playing against each other.
Oh, I see.
They were just like doing drills and everything.
Oh, okay.
Before they left for Tampa, before they left for Florida. So we're sitting there, and my buddy recognizes a friend of his. Now, this friend is apparently in charge of the fan experience in regard to food and beverages at the Prudential Center.
Uh-oh.
Why uh-oh? Why uh-oh?
I just sense danger in this conversation.
I'm lovely.
Okay.
So he,
what did you do?
So we ask how everything is. Wow, everything's great today. I go, but I'm glad to meet you.
Because by the way,
exactly. Because when am I going to get this opportunity?
No, actually, this is fascinating.
It is because I'm not going to write. It doesn't even occur to me that there is somebody to write to for this.
I wouldn't have thought.
And I certainly don't have the motivation to find out that person and send an email.
But now that he has presented himself.
But this is Jesus Christ looking out for me. That's what this is.
It is. Because if anybody, he backs up the jizz.
He knows his peeps. He knows where he came from.
He knows where he came from.
Exactly. He knows where his matzah's buttered.
Yeah, because he's really just Jesus from the block.
Jesus on the block has a great ass. Probably does 30 minutes of ass exercises every day for hopping on that cross. That's the problem about Jesus' ass. You never get to see it. You only get to see the ab. So you think, well, I bet Jesus doesn't work his ass. I bet Jesus has a supple buttocks.
You think so?
The man took care of himself. I mean, you know, you know he could do the cardio. He's walking with like a cross on his back.
That was tough.
Yeah, exactly. You know he does the ab work. He's ripped.
Yeah.
So what? He's not going to have a nice ass?
I'm sure he does.
Jesus has a great ass.
I'm sure. Yeah. Well, you never get to see the back of the whole picture.
Unless they don't show you that because Jesus really has a flabby ass.
I don't think so. I don't think they'd allow that.
No, well, I mean...
The guy has highlights. He takes care of himself.
But a lot of guys, they don't do the leg work or the ass work. They kind of get the guys with chicken legs. They're ripped up top.
And then no leg work?
Yeah.
No, that's lame.
Yeah. So I guess theoretically, Jesus could have been the first one of those, first body guys.
I don't think so, because you have to have the lower body strength to be humping that cross through all
that's
of the
true.
Village.
Was there a hill in the village? Because that'll
yeah.
Definitely... All right.
I mean, according to, what's his name, the Jew hater?
Adolf Hitler?
No, the guy who did the movie about Jesus. Yeah, you know.
The actor, Mel Gibson.
The actor, Mel Gibson.
It's fascinating to watch us go through dementia on the air.
I know. I had a conversation about that at the day program, too. There was a lady who was 77 years old, and I happened to be talking to her, and I said, yeah, we're in our 40s and 50s, and we're already, like, searching for words, and it's coming. Yeah. Here it comes.
So we're going to say Jesus has a great ass.
Well, you can say that, yes.
I'm in a basement. I don't think lightning can strike.
Oh, yes, it will.
But anyway, Jesus Christ is obviously looking out for me on this day.
Okay.
To put this person.
To put this person in your way.
Exactly. In my way. Like I'm a Mack truck. So I tell him the story. I go, listen, we're at the Bon Jovi concert. We're up in the upper deck. You know, most of the food is closed,
right.
By the way, which was disappointing.
Yeah.
Like, even the pizza was closed. He goes, yeah, funny story. The next night, the second night of the concert, the pizza place was still closed. They turned it into a wine bar. Like, okay.
Oh, all right.
I'm like, you know what? You should be selling your $7.50 pizza. I don't know what you people are doing.
Yeah.
But fine. All right. So I tell them the story. I go, they have all these cheeseburgers. They got, like, three cooks standing there.
Yeah.
We asked the girl. She's like, I don't know, but I'll ask. They won't make a hamburger. I go, this is very upsetting. he goes, right, there's no excuse for this.
Yeah.
They should have made a hamburger. You should be able to get a hamburger. I'm going to find out. I'm going to rectify this.
Wow.
So I'm just saying, if anybody goes through the Prudential Center within the next several months and you get a hamburger, once again, you're welcome.
Thank Davin.
It's a common theme.
Actually, I think after you order your burger and they accept this challenge, you have to say, thank you, Davin.
Yeah. Like when
to
you
the order.
I think like during grace before you eat, I'm included in that.
Oh, wow.
What?
Wow.
No.
No. No.
You know what? What would Jesus do? He wouldn't make it possible for you to have a hamburger. What would Davin do? He would make it possible for you to have a hamburger.
What would Davin do? We're going to have little bracelets with that?
We should.
WWDD?
We should.
What would Davin do? Davin do. Yeah.
So, resolution.
Yes.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
I know. That's actually pretty interesting. But it's one of those things that's just so simple. Why couldn't they figure this out?
Because they didn't want to cook.
Yeah,
because they had all these
cheeseburgers ready. They didn't want to make a new
burger. I don't
even
know why you wouldn't have a hamburger on the menu.
I don't understand. It's duh.
Like, I know they're not cooking to order. I know that.
I know.
But I should have the option.
Absolutely.
And I didn't bitch about how bad my chicken sandwich was and how ridiculous the prices were. I didn't bitch.
No. You were just like, this is just something that's like common sense and they couldn't figure it out.
Like, I figured the pricing, that's probably beyond him. That probably comes from up above.
Yeah.
But if he's
yeah.
talking about the experience,
yeah.
this was a negative experience.
Of course it was.
I wasn't asking for anything crazy.
No. It's dumb.
I wasn't asking them to put extra stuff on.
No. It's kind of like saying, we'll make you chocolate milk, we'll make you coffee, but you can't have any milk in your coffee. But you have milk to make chocolate milk. Yeah, I know, but you can't. We only use that for chocolate milk. You can't have milk in your coffee. You know, this is easily done.
Well,
stupid.
I am your warrior.
Yes. You know, you have consumer warriors, mm-hmm. you know, like, you know, shame, 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 all that stuff.
I've heard that many times in my direction.
Yes. And you are a warrior for the consumers.
I am. I've yes. proven that time and time again.
Yes, it's true.
I have another beef, so to speak.
Another beef besides a hamburger?
Actually, it's nothing to do with beef.
Oh, okay.
I have a new beef. Do you go to Mexican restaurants?
Sometimes, yeah.
You like the Mexican food?
I do.
I like the Mexican food, too.
Yeah.
So, little beef of mine. You go to a Mexican restaurant. You ever order the fajitas?
Sure.
Fajitas are delicious, aren't they?
Yeah, they're really good.
Hot and sizzling on a skillet, some fresh veg.
Yep.
Some fresh chicken or meat or shrimp or whatever you want to get.
Yep.
A little sour cream?
Yeah. A
little salsa?
Yeah.
You know what's not thrown in? Guacamole.
I know.
I'm a little fucking tired of the guacamole being extra.
Extra.
It's insulting.
It's always extra.
Yes. I'm paying $15 for my goddamn fajitas. Throw in the guac. You're not giving me a ton of guac. You never give me a ton of guac.
They give you a teeny little cup.
Yeah, even if you pay for it. And it's anywhere from like 75 cents at a really cheap place to like $3.
Right.
Like if I'm paying $3 for guac, really I should use it like as a mug mask. I should have enough guac where I can... No, I'm exfoliating. I'm enjoying the... If I'm paying $3 for extra after I pay $15 or $13 for fajitas...
$3. You know, part of the problem is that guacamole gets that brown, unattractive color right away. So you can't mask...
But we're eating in a place where the heritage is of brown people. I'm fine with brown.
No, you're not. You would be
okay.
No,
you're talking about when the air gets to it, like with an apple.
Yeah. It gets nasty. Exactly.
You put it in the fridge, you're fine.
No, it's still...
You scoop off the top layer.
I know.
What, you think they're making guac fresh... For me?
No, they're not. But I'm just saying that's why it costs more problematic.
It costs more because they can get away with it.
True.
They can get, and they go, well, avocados are expensive. Let me tell you something. Avocados regularly go on sale for $1 a piece. You don't use a whole avocado for guacamole. Plus, I'm sure they can get produce much cheaper than I can at the supermarket.
I suppose.
So here's what I'm thinking. Because again, I solve problems. So you agree, this is an issue.
It's annoying as hell.
Yeah. Do you ever order the extra guac?
Yes.
I do not.
I do.
I'm like, no, fuck it.
I really want it.
So do I. And it's, again, once again, people like you enable this. You're an enabler. I am not.
I am.
But, you know, you can make the argument that you're worth the extra $3.
I am.
I would not make that. I don't think I'm worth the extra $3.
Oh, well, see, in this particular instance, yes, I do think I'm worth it.
And much like the airlines, I'd be happy if you're charging me $17 for fajitas and including the guacamole.
Yeah,
because then it's all right, well, I get guacamole.
So I don't have to beg for it.
Exactly.
I really don't want to have to beg for it. I mean, I don't like haggling over prices for cars. That's why Saturn was a great company, because they said, this is what it cost. This is what, if you want extras, this is what each of them cost. We'll add it up. That's what you walk away having paid. I don't want to go, we play this game, you're highballing me, and I have to argue with you.
Because our culture isn't to haggle. Other cultures are to haggle.
Right. And I hate that, because it's like, with cars.
Yeah, but these Mexican restaurants, you can't haggle. There's
no, there's a price.
And you go to some place, they charge you, want to charge you extra for lettuce and tomato on a burger.
I know. It's like, what?
Yeah.
You're going to charge me extra for lettuce?
Yeah, it's a little much.
Yeah. No.
So I do have a solution, though.
Okay.
I think it's a good solution.
All right. I'll be the judge of that.
Our dear leader has promised us that Mexico is going to build this wall.
Yeah.
I think by the stink he's making about the budget, how it wasn't in our U.S. budget to pay for the wall, and he's pissed off, I think he kind of knows Mexico's not going to pay for the wall. I think only a small subset of Trump supporters who are fucking morons actually think Mexico is going to pay for the wall.
I
think
there's still some of those.
Yeah, there are. Okay. There are. I think even a decent amount of Trump supporters now, they're not paying for the wall.
I'm surprised that anybody at any point in time believed that anybody...
Well, we heard it on our own show.
Yes, we did hear it.
And at the time, we both said that wasn't going to happen.
It's not happening.
No.
It was never going to happen.
Believe the Orange Man. So anyway, Mexico's not paying for this wall. It's right. A broken promise. I don't care how you slice it. It's a broken promise.
Yeah, it is.
So I have a solution.
Okay.
Trump is known as a great negotiator. I mean, I don't really believe that.
Do you hear me saying yes?
That's his thing.
Okay.
That's his thing.
All right.
Here's the negotiation. All the Mexican restaurants in the United States throw in free guacamole, and we pay for the wall, and we consider a presidential promise kept. We get free guac. They get the wall. We pay for it. It all evens out.
I don't even know what to do with this.
You get free. You enjoy the guacamole.
No, I would enjoy the guacamole, and you say but I don't see how that's going to happen.
He's the president.
You
call it the president of Mexico. Listen, here's the deal. Yeah. My people love the guacamole. Your people make the guacamole. They're here illegally. We're not going to deport them because they know how to make the guacamole.
And we need that.
We need the guac.
That's skilled labor, damn it.
So, I mean, the choices are we go to war.
Yeah.
And we take all your avocados and guacamole. Or you talk to Chili's and all the and all the other authentic Mexican restaurants that are here.
Oh, my God. You authentic. Say,
listen. You're throwing in free guac and we're going to build the wall. To keep out the rapists and murderers, and, you know, and I assume some of them are good people.
Oh, my God. I don't even know what to do with you right now.
It's a problem solved.
No!
You wouldn't feel a lot better about things if you had free guacamole. I would feel so much better about life if I had free guacamole.
If I got warm chips with that, I'm starting to come around to your plan.
Well, this is all part of the negotiation.
Oh, all right.
Warm chips are always free.
Yeah.
No, they're not always warm.
No, they're not always warm.
But chips are always free.
But it's like the place that I go. You get warm chips with guacamole.
All right, so that's not right. But that's already included. They're already giving us the free chips. If you're not getting free chips, you're eating at a bullshit place.
Look, guacamole is so good, I would eat it with matzah. I really just don't even care. Whatever vehicle gets
so
into
now,
my mouth faster makes me happy.
My cock. Cock and guac.
Wait a minute, is that actually on the menu?
My cock is a guacamole delivery system.
Cock and guac. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Well, you asked for it, we got it.
I think I did, actually. I asked for that one.
No, but you'd feel better about our dear leader if he negotiated something. You wouldn't even notice that we're paying for a wall. Every day you can get your fajitas, you can get your tacos. Besides getting your sour cream and your salsa, get a nice amount of guac.
You know what? Look, if you could stop saying dear leader, I could stop turning the color of the guacamole because that's making me a little nauseous.
Our beloved president?
No.
Mr. Trump?
Okay, you're getting closer.
Okay. I'm not going to say anything disparaging.
Okay. But you're getting better.
Yeah.
All right, I feel less nauseated.
Yeah. So if you got free guac, you'd feel better about a wall.
No, I really wouldn't.
No, you're the problem.
Yeah, I am.
You're going to be in the 20% that doesn't like it.
I am not going to feel better.
I'd feel much better if I was getting free guacamole.
Well, you know, free guacamole would make me feel better about a lot of things, but not the wall.
Why? I'm willing to pay for it if I'm getting free. I'm paying for it either way.
Yeah, well, that's the problem.
So,
you might as well get free guacamole, yes! While you're paying for it.
Yes!
That'll assuage your rage.
Guacamole is very yummy.
It is, but, you know, everybody's always going to want more. Now I want warm chips. Now I want a little sour
cream. You're already getting the chips. You're already getting the sour cream. You're already getting salsa. This is the completion.
Oh, okay. This is the whole package.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're getting it all. And we build a wall.
No, still not good. Yeah.
Listen, we're going to pay for it anyway. Might as well get guacamole.
I know. I wish that I did get something out of the deal, but I don't think so.
I think this solves the problem. You're welcome again, America.
Okay.
There's one problem I cannot solve. Mm. One problem in the world.
Was that that you expected an answer from me just as I was sipping some soda?
No, not at all.
Oh, okay. What is the problem you can't solve?
My cat, Maui. There are issues.
What's the matter with Maui?
Every night, she climbs onto my wife's dresser.
Okay.
And knocks things off in the wee hours of the morning. Oh, is that funny, is it? This is why I'm cranky and say mean things to you and Joe. I'm not properly rested.
No, I'm totally, totally understanding this because this is right up the kitty playbook.
Yeah, no, I figured you would appreciate this.
Oh yeah.
Here's the thing: I'll rise out of bed
because you hear things.
Of course I do, and I know exactly
around the room.
And me and Mally will make eye contact.
And then does she reach over very slowly with her paw to knock over some more shit, like maintaining eye contact with you?
Quite often, yes.
I know. Oh,
you're up. Boosh.
Oh, is this entertaining for you too? Fuck that. Boom.
Oh, I guess you'll be picking this up. Boom.
Bam. Yeah. As long as it's not stuff like talcum powder that's left open.
Whatever is in her way.
Whatever's in the way is getting knocked down.
Sometimes she will see the eye contact and she'll go, oh, I got daddy's attention.
Yes.
I will come on over now.
Oh, yeah.
More often than not, that is not the case. More often than not, I have to get out of bed, walk around, walk by the dresser, and remove the cat.
Yes. Yes.
I must. And sometimes then the cat will come up and climb into bed and sleep next to me.
Right,
which
right.
is fine. The cat wanted attention. She got the attention.
Yeah. Now you're up. Now you're paying attention to her.
Well, last week, we had an issue.
Uh-oh.
3 o'clock in the morning. Boom. Knocking shit off. Pick her up. Put her on the floor. 3:15. Up there again. Boom. Knocking shit off. Fucking cat. 3:30. You know. 3:30, boom.
Every quarter hour.
Every quarter. Which, this is, like, really bad behavior for her.
Yeah.
Like she's really determined to piss me off.
Oh, yeah.
Like this, she doesn't usually have this much oomph in her.
I love it.
So, of course you do, because you're an awful human being.
Yes.
4 o'clock in the morning. Enough.
Right.
I'm going to be up in 2 hours anyway, because I always get up around six anyway. Plus, got to get the kid ready for school. All that.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? 4 o'clock in the morning. Fuck it, cat. I've had enough. We don't close the bedroom door because we have the other cat in there. Whatever. I'm locking her in the bathroom.
Oh.
I've had enough.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Have you ever locked the cat in the bathroom?
Well, yes, but not for being bad. Sometimes, you know, like when you get a new cat, you have to isolate them from the other cats, yes. kind of thing. But not for being bad.
Well, I'm not going to beat my cat.
No, no. You don't hit them. They don't understand why.
I swatted Flea the other day. She bit me.
Oh, well, immediately after a bite, yeah.
And then I go to the wife holding the arm. She's like, why are you pointed here? I'm like, because she bit me. She's like, you're an adult. Handle it. I'm like, but it's your cat. It's like,
what did you expect her to do? Now go hunt her down and hit her? Flea won't know why.
She'll know why.
No, she won't.
When I scream, she knows why.
Oh, no. If it's the immediate second after, they know what they did.
Yeah.
But if it's like, now I'm going to go and hunt you down and smack you, they don't know.
How do you know?
They don't remember.
How do you know what they're... They're not fucking goldfish. They're cat stupid.
I know, but they won't really.
They know. They're not stupid. Well, the flea might be stupid. Maui's not stupid.
No, Maui's not stupid.
Maui's,
but
as far as cats go...
Flea is just like... traumatized.
I don't know if Flea's stupid.
Flea she's sucks. Just. She doesn't suck.
She's the wife's cat, and the rest of us can go to hell. That's the way Flea lives. Flea sucks.
Yeah, she's just traumatized.
Whatever.
But
Maui, smart cat. So I'm like, enough. Enough of this horse shit. I'm locking you in the bathroom. I need to get some sleep.
Yeah.
Wake up at 6 a.m. Time to tinkle.
Yep.
Open up the bathroom door, let out the cat. She's been in there for 2 hours.
Right.
Let out the cat. Look against the far wall. Garbage pail knocked over. All right.
Well, she's not going to be happy about being stuck in there.
No. Look down. Maui's looking up at me. In front of Maui, on the carpet, on the rug, like the little area rug by the sink.
Right.
3 fully formed turds.
You.
She most certainly did. So now before I even pee, I'm cleaning up cat shit.
Oh my god. Oh god, she told you.
It was a spite shitting.
Yeah, it totally was. Totally a spite shitting and a garbage knocking overing.
I don't even care about the garbage being knocked over.
The shitting on the rug? Bad.
Yeah, that was clearly. And the wife's like, well, she was in there for 2 hours. Maybe she had to go. But no, that was spite.
That was spite.
She could have held it.
Oh, yeah. She was just like, you know what? You locked me in the bathroom. Fuck you. Here's a poop.
Yeah. Fully formed, ready to go. What do you think that was? About a half an hour into her captivity? She goes, fuck this guy.
Oh, yeah. Totally annoyed. First went over and told the garbage, fuck you. And then went... Now what can I do? Well, I already did the most damaging... Wait a minute. Hold on. I think I sense another plan being processed, if you will. Oh, that's funny.
And the wife takes her side, the cat side.
Oh,
I'm like,
yeah.
Well, she's waking me up. She's like, well, sleep better. Fuck you.
Well, sleep better.
And I know this is Maui's MO, because I remember years ago, When Maui and her dearly departed brother, Ash, were but wee kittens. We went away when we were in the apartment in Hackensack. Went away for a week. And the maintenance guy came into the apartment to fix something in the bathroom.
Okay.
In the bathroom was the cat litter.
Oh.
he closed the door.
Uh-oh.
So the cats couldn't get to the cat litter.
Oh, no.
So you would figure, all right, the cats are going to shit and pee all over the place.
Right.
No, they did not.
Where'd they go?
In the bed. Every shit and piss in our fucking bed.
Oh, my God.
Why are you laughing?
Because this is my life. Oh, my God.
Yes, it's your life. Not supposed to be my life.
Oh, my God. Oh. Our cats throw up crunchies all over the house. Blah, blah, this little pile of crunchies. You find them in the darkest places. I know this. However, what I did not expect is when I get into bed, our little cat, Stumpy, sleeps on the bottom of the bed, and I put this little not rug, but a little blankie that's like extra soft at the bottom of the bed because I know she's going to lie on it there. So when I get into bed, she jumps up and she runs over and gets over to the side of my neck because she wants me to pet her, and then she wants me to lift up the covers so she can crawl under for a little bit.
Right.
It's like our playtime.
Cats like to be Dutch ovened.
Yeah. So I store up a surprise for her. No. So she crawls under, and I lift up my feet, and I tuck the bottom of the blanket under my own feet so that they're cocooned because my feet get cold. So this time, however, I lifted up my feet so that the blanket would, like kind of, like, hang under my feet for a second, and that's how I tuck my feet in. Not knowing, because I did not turn on the light to get into bed, that there was cat puke on that little soft blankie that I was looking forward to cuddle around my feet. And all of a sudden, I went, what? What is that? What is that moist
Mr. Helix? Is this your work, mister?
What did you do?
This is your work.
And all of a sudden, I smell... Now I've lifted up my feet, so I made this airflow, this waft of air.
You Dutch ovened yourself with cat puke.
I did, and all the smell comes up under the blankets and right into my nose.
Now you got a shower. You've been befouled.
And yes, I had to get up and wash my feet because it, and I have to collect all of this crunchy, nasty vomit. And I got to get rid of that blankie.
But here's the thing. Was your cat doing it out of spite?
I don't know why they have these little crunchy throw up.
I think
jacks.
No, I think Maui's track record is now clear.
I think that was spite.
I think now looking back, I think Ash, cuz Maui was always the leader between Maui and Ash.
Okay.
Ash probably didn't know what to do with himself.
Right. And
I got to go. Maui's like, "Here's what we're going to do."
I got a plan.
This is
for
where
you.
The humans sleep.
Yeah, they'll notice it.
Yeah. This is our bathroom now because they locked us out of our bathroom and they're not here. They clearly don't care. And if they do come back, they'll know they should never leave again.
They should definitely not let that person in to mess with our...
We will teach our humans to bend to our will.
Listen, they need to be trained. The humans need to be trained. We can't leave them just going about their own business because that's when we have to go about our business.
Well, I will say...
And do our business.
Maui is still knocking off shit in the middle of the night.
Of course.
And I have been trained not to lock her in the bathroom. I shan't be doing that again, because though I gain a few hours sleep, I know at the end of that rainbow is shit that I have to clean up.
I know.
So, yeah.
That's hilarious.
Is it?
It is.
Is it really?
No, this is so much my life.
It's funny when it happens to you.
Mr. Helix was just telling me this morning that he didn't sleep well, and I'm like, oh, what's the matter? I thought he was worried about something. He goes, no. Stumpy kept jumping on my belly all night long.
My belly. Wake up, Stumpy. Wake up.
she's very tiny, and she only has three legs, but she uses them to optimum use. Like, she can, like, pinpoint with her tiny little feet onto a spot. She'll jump up in the air and go, wee, and land. And it hurts so much. It's like she puts... all of the pressure.
She's an asshole.
She is a physicist. She knows exactly how to use her body weight against
cats
us.
Cats are assholes.
Well, I thought that he would be happy that she was jumping up and down on his belly last night because it was a nice vacation for his balls, because she usually jumps from the ground up in the air to get out of bed and always manages to land right on his balls.
You know what Stumpy's saying?
What she saying?
I know. I understand. Stumpy's saying, you know what, Mr. Healy? You fucking snore. Enough of this shit. You're keeping me up. Roll over on your belly. Stop sleeping on your back.
Roll over on the side.
Yeah, that's what Stumpy is saying. Yeah, trying to get a little sleep over here, and you freaking cutting wood. I don't like it. This is why I have to jump on your balls. So the cat is trying to once again train the human,
and he's trained very well because now he actually
up to bed.
No, he almost lies and he puts his hand over his jewels so he doesn't get jumped on.
This is fucking ridiculous.
He stomps on him so
hard.
It
is ridiculous that these feral fucking felines are training us and making us miserable. We go, but I love them. No, they're assholes.
No, they're assholes. They are such assholes.
They're the overlords.
They totally are.
Yeah, it's a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah, you know, when she crawls under the blanket and wants to, like, cuddle with me and everything, so I'll pet her, and then if all of a sudden she doesn't like the way I move, she'll bite me.
That's a bad cat.
I know. She's so naughty.
Cats suck.
I love them.
So I'm back to no sleep.
Yeah.
But I've learned, don't lock her in the bathroom.
Maybe take your shit off the dresser, too.
I tell the wife all the time, take your shit off. She's got pillows up there, fucking roadblock. And here's the weird thing. For years, it was Flea that would, like, chase lights.
Oh, yeah.
Like, chasing up the wall and everything in the middle of the night.
Yep.
Then, like a year or two ago, she stopped that nonsense.
Huh.
And Maui's like, well, fuck, I see an opening.
Wait, there's a job opening, and I'm ready to fill it.
Yeah. Asshole. Asshole cat.
You've seen that meme, though. Fuck this, fuck that. Fuck that in particular, where the cat is knocking things off of something.
Yeah.
I love that because it's so true.
Yeah, well, I'm not pleased.
Of course not.
So anyway.
That's hilarious.
Is it?
Yeah.
I thought you'd enjoy that story.
I did. I did very much. Thank you.
I teased it on Saturday when I saw you.
Yes.
Because Saturday I was performing at Waltz Club.
Yeah.
And I knew I was working with a comedian who, in the past I've seen do well, but I haven't seen him in several years.
Okay.
And the last time I saw him was not a pleasant experience. As he said, something to the effect to me of, like, how did you get this gig?
What?
Yeah, I think that would rub most people the wrong way.
Yeah, no, that's dickish.
Yeah, I thought so. I'm like, huh, this guy's a dick. So, whatever. So I know I'm working with him. I'm a pro. I'm not going to make waves.
Yeah.
You know me. I'm like, whatever. I'll get through this.
Yeah.
I certainly work with people before I don't like. So my wife, who rarely sees me perform, is coming to the show, and she's bringing her former boss. They still work together, but my wife works in a different department now, and he's doing something different. So so the former boss, the boss's wife, and another coworker are coming to the show. And I feel there's always pressure not to suck when people come specifically to see me.
Yeah.
Because, like, if I don't know you, there's not as much pressure not to suck.
Right, right.
But if I know you, I might have to deal with the suctitude down the road.
I might have to hear about this.
Exactly. It might come up in conversation.
Mm, maybe a little.
Yeah, exactly. So if I suck, I certainly don't want to relive my sucking. I'll talk about it on the radio. I'll fucking purge it. And then I'll
move on. And it's gone. Except it's coming from you, and you always throw yourself under the bus if you've done badly.
Yes.
But now other people being allowed to do it because they have paid money to see you, and now they feel that they're entitled to an opinion about it. Well,
there certainly is that entitlement of opinion, isn't
it? Yes, yes.
So I'm like, all right. So, all right, I have to be good. So, and also, depending on, I feel like these particular people, since they work with my wife, I can't be a degenerate on stage.
Or they're going to look at her and be like, that's what you're married to?
Which is the right approach. Yeah. But I don't need to give them ammunition.
Right. Well, I understand that. Like, I try to be on my best behavior when I'm brought around to meet with Mr. Hillix's coworkers.
Right.
You know, I don't act like I do here.
No, I mean, when you're going to meet with a bunch of toy packers.
I'm on my best behavior.
As well you should. You don't want to cause problems. I understand. So, all right. So I feel like a little bit of pressure. Right?
Yeah.
So I'm walking in the parking lot, and there you are.
Yes.
I didn't know you were coming.
I know.
It was a nice surprise.
It was a surprise.
And you've come to a bunch of shows.
Yeah.
And there's Mr. Helix, who never comes out to shows.
I know.
And there's Gail, your friend Gail, is your friend on the show.
Yeah.
Who's a ghost chaser.
Yeah.
Who we've had on the show.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Yeah.
But again, more pressure now. because they have never seen me, and you spend every week with me. So,
right.
So, like, when you come, if I suck, first of all, you see me do well pretty much every time.
Yeah.
You've seen me.
Yeah.
So if I were to have a sucky show, yeah, you want, you go, okay, it
yeah,
happens.
It happens.
But if I have a sucky show and you're there, yeah, we'll goof on it. It'll yeah. be fine. It'll be fine.
It's another hell gig to talk about on the radio.
Exactly. Yeah. Not a big deal.
Yeah.
But now you're bringing people, and you brought another friend who I didn't meet out in the parking lot. And when her, yeah, you brought up three more friends.
Yeah.
So now there's all this fucking pressure. It's like, and I don't usually feel pressure, especially playing 10 minutes from my house.
I know. I was surprised that you were like, oh, my God, people you brought.
I wasn't like that.
No.
Huh. Okay.
All right.
All right, Nick. Guess I'll try to be funny tonight.
as opposed to those other times where I plan on sucking.
Right. But now, one of your friends was a Wynwood fan.
Yes.
Post-show, we'll get to the show itself, but post-show, Pip tries to sell me out as a Wynwood hater. There's the sweetest member of the show being a fucking bitch.
Yes.
Right there.
Yep,
causing problems.
Totally did.
And I told your friend, I said, Wynwood concerts are fine. I'm not a hater. Just not on Tuesday nights. I said it on the air. I said it to the friend. I go,
yes.
Hey, Pip, well, whenever you want. Just not Tuesday night. You've seen yeah. him enough. You don't have to see him on Tuesdays. Them's the rules.
Yeah.
Not a Wynwood hater.
No, no.
He could do his thing.
Yes. I mean, you have been salty about him in the past, but you've actually mellowed.
There's nothing to hate. You're not trying to sell him on me.
No.
It's fine. It's yeah. your thing. It just can't be your thing on Tuesdays. You know the rules. That's all there is. Because you see him so much. If he came around, you know, like Elton John, who never comes around.
Right.
You go, I'm going on Tuesday. All right, I get it. Listen, you see Wynwood more than his wife does.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
For the purpose of this show, yes. So, and I felt I need to stick up for the show in the face of such irresponsibility and recklessness.
I say. All right.
And I did. Now, usually when you come, usually when you're alone.
Yeah.
And I'm usually headlining the show.
Yeah.
And the shows are usually good.
Yeah.
But oftentimes they devolve into a free-for-all.
Sometimes.
But that's fine. Like I said, there's no pressure when you see me.
Right.
Because if I eat dick, we're going to have fun with it.
Yeah, yeah.
But when others come, there's this pressure.
Yeah.
So the club was pretty full.
Yeah.
It was a it was a fundraiser for a group that wants kids to read as soon as they're born.
Yeah.
And people who knew me.
Yeah, that was the mixture. Yeah.
That was a mixture.
Yeah, but I have to say that this particular group, that their pamphlets that they had on the tables.
Oh, I did not see the pamphlets.
The pamphlets, the first picture that you see, it is two adult hands holding little tiny, tiny baby feet. And it looks like it's some kind of right to life group. And so we looked at the pamphlets and went, holy shit, where are we? What's going on?
We're going to burn.
Oh, no. And I was like, oh, okay. It's just about
literacy.
Know, literacy. Oh, okay. Okay. Okay.
They're not fucking the kids. They don't want to keep the kids alive.
You know, they're not saying, you know, hey, you know, here's a preemie. We'll keep them alive at all, you know, even if right. they can't breathe, you know. It was like, oh, what the? Oh.
Okay. Oh, literacy. Okay. I get you.
We were in trouble.
So I say hello to the other comic.
Yeah.
Make some small talk. He tells me, he tells me he hears a lot of bad things about me from other comedians.
Are you shitting me?
This yes, I just make shit up. That's what I do. I'm shitting you right now. Like a cat in a bathroom. I'm shitting you.
I totally wish you'd stop.
Yes.
I can't believe he did it again. What is this fucker's problem? Ew.
Now, I
wish I'd known that.
I'm not gonna fucking open the show with it.
No, it's like, hey, that fucker back there just, you know, insulted me again.
I really don't think it's true, but it makes you wonder.
Yeah, it does.
You always
want to
go, well, so I say, well, at least they're all talking about me.
Nice.
I think it might have been a mind game to psych me out.
Maybe.
It's just a very weird thing to say to somebody.
It's a really nasty thing to say to somebody.
I was telling this story to Kevin Lee, Kevin who's been on our show,
yeah.
comedian Kevin Lee, who's been on our show a few times. And Kevin goes, you know, it's funny you say that. I was down in Myrtle Beach. He's going to be working there for the summer. He was just there a couple weeks ago. And there's another club in Myrtle Beach, and another comic who Kevin and I both know.
Right.
Reaches out to Kevin and goes, hey, I'm working at the other club. We never see each other. Let's get together. So Kevin goes, all right, we'll get together.
Nice.
And he says the same thing to Kevin.
About you?
No, about Kevin.
What?
Yeah. Kevin's like, I thought, I'm in my 50s. I thought we were past that. I go, it's either some bullshit or, you know what, it's coming from people because Kevin has a club.
Okay.
And I have some stuff that maybe people we don't book for whatever reason. Other than that, I think it's bullshit. I go, Kevin, I don't hear anybody talking about you. And he goes, oh, thanks. I go, no, I mean, like, I don't hear anybody talking badly about you. It's not like your name is coming up all the time or anybody's begrudging you for any reason.
This is some middle school bullshit from a bunch of wet hens.
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah. And I would never say that to somebody.
No. No. Oh, you? Hi, I've heard about you. People talk shit about you all the time.
Yeah.
It's like, and how do you do?
It's really weird.
It's really weird, and it's kind of an awful thing to say. I had a friend who used to do stuff like that. She used to, and I came to the conclusion, because you do wonder about the person who is delivering bad news to you like this, or is talking shit about you to your face but can use it under the guise of other people saying
it. It's one thing if somebody who you have a good relationship, like say, Pip, I don't know what you make of this, but I'm hanging out with such and such, and they said this and that about you. I don't know what their deal was. Just be careful. Like, if it comes from me, you know I got your best interest.
Yeah, and you're trying to warn me about somebody who's not really my friend.
Right.
Right. But if it's like, if it's like Joe telling me. No, I'm kidding.
Just nobody. Just friend of no man.
I couldn't resist. I'm sorry. I usually only do silly stuff like that when Joe's here to defend himself.
But he comes so late, so it's hard.
But if it was somebody who, like, professionally that you just ran into the first time in a long time, they're like, a lot of people talk crap about you. I would be like, what is your problem?
I guess I could have gone that route, but I'm just like, I'm not gonna.
No.
I take it Kevin really didn't. Like, get into it. You're just going, what the fuck is wrong with people?
Yeah, really. I mean, like, you know Walt, and it's like, when I, like, start shit in his club and stuff. But it kind of, I mean, I would almost be tempted to be like, what the fuck is your problem?
Yeah. Again, I got people there.
Yeah.
There's a show about to go on.
Yeah.
Time and a place, and right. I really don't care what he says. Yeah. But still, I wonder who would be talking about me. But he lives in Long Island where Joe lives, and I'm thinking Joe knows a bunch of people. Like, if people were talking shit about me,
wouldn't Joe bring it to your attention?
Or maybe not, although when we had that big blowout, he said people were talking shit about me. Ugh. But I don't know if he was just being, like, a dick and, like, the governor's people because I didn't kiss the former owner's ass.
And maybe they were like, yeah, he's a dick, just to, like, make him feel better.
Yeah, I don't know.
Who knows?
But it's like, I don't have any beef.
No, it's like, why are they bothered?
Yeah.
I like it when on those reality shows, especially when it's like the African-American women that are like, keep my name out of your mouth, you know?
Yeah.
You know? But that's kind of like, why are you bothering talking about me? Shut up.
Yeah.
You know, what's there to talk about? Calm yourself.
So it's just a shitty way.
Jealous.
But I don't know why. There's no reason. Why is he jealous of me? I mean, like.
Because his life is going so splendidly, perhaps?
Well, I mean, Walt did say he's sleeping on people's couch. He's sleeping on somebody's couch now.
I didn't say it. I was going to say it, but I let you say it.
Walt said that. No,
I know he did.
But he doesn't know I'm not sleeping on couches.
Yeah, I know. Well, I've seen you nap on that particular couch I'm looking at right now.
Sure you have.
You've seen me nap on that couch.
Cats in our lives. We got to get sleep while we can.
Yeah, I know. This is not exactly a cat-free zone, but that's a nice couch.
Yes. So, all right. So the fundraiser does a raffle for about 17 gift baskets before the show.
Yeah.
Which makes us start like a half hour late.
Yeah.
And the other comic's not pleased.
Okay.
He's saying things. I'm not going to say anything. You know, it is what it is. I'm already here. It's not ideal. But I'm just more easygoing.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm here. Whatever.
Yeah.
So finally, they're done with the raffles. How much time do you think Walt did on stage? Because Walt is the host.
Oh, none at all.
Like, less than a minute?
Maybe a minute.
Yeah.
Maybe a minute. It was on, off.
Yeah.
I didn't have to have time to heckle him. It was my plan. I didn't have time.
We'll have Walt back in studio. You can heckle him.
I know, no. When he's here, I can heckle.
There's no warm-up for me.
No, it was, you went on cold.
Yeah.
Cold.
Which is not what I'm used to. Usually I'm headlining, so there's one or two comics, or at least
right.
If I'm in the middle, there's usually a host. I mean, once in a while I go on cold, but it's certainly not the normal anymore.
You went on, your opener was Gift Basket. That was your Gift Basket was your opener.
Yes. So
was the MC.
So I do my first joke, which hits, especially with a blonde lady to my left.
Yeah.
She let out such a scream.
Yes.
It startled me, and I think a lot of other people in the audience.
It totally did. I was sitting way far away, and I jumped out of my skin. Because she literally went, I'm going to back up from the mic when I do it.
But she longer.
But longer.
Yeah.
But she did a noise like that. It was, oh my God.
You couldn't ignore it.
No. I thought she got stabbed.
Well, she liked the joke. she liked the joke.
But it didn't even sound like a laugh.
Yeah, exactly. I've heard some funny laughs.
It sounded like somebody getting burned.
No. So I asked, you talk about being sad. I go, is there a vibrator on your seat? Because I've never made a woman scream like that before. A little self-deprecation out of the...
Yeah.
So apparently everybody at my wife's table looked at her for some type of verification.
Like, he never has? Really? Oh, honey.
And, you know, I'm not thinking about that. I'm in the moment. I just got to get through this moment to get to my show.
Right,
I'm not thinking, oh, the wife's here and her boss and the people she knows.
Right.
That's not crossing my mind at all.
No.
And I guess it's awkward when everybody knows you know the comic.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure there's certain things I say and people look at, really, you work with it?
Like, yeah, I know.
It doesn't even cross my mind when I'm up there.
No, you're doing your material, but people have to understand that you're not 1,000% autobiographical. Come on.
I'm like the president. Some things are true, some are not. So this lady was overly enthusiastic throughout my set.
That was a polite way of putting
yes.
it.
Yes. She had two things going for her.
Okay.
She was liking my comedy.
Yes.
And she was pretty attractive.
Oh, really?
I never saw her.
Yeah,
she was attractive.
Oh, okay.
You know, probably a blonde in her maybe 40s. I don't know. Well put together.
Yeah, okay.
Nice body and everything.
She was not drunk or didn't appear to be drunk?
I don't know.
I'm just asking.
But not sloppy.
No, because after she made that noise, she continued to talk to you as if you two were having a little conversation.
Here's what I don't understand. Now everybody wants to talk to me. In college, nobody wants to fucking talk to me.
While you're performing, exactly. They want to have a conversation.
Exactly. What the fuck?
I don't know. It was so bizarre.
So because she likes me and because she's moderately, because she's attractive, I'm really not going to stick my fangs into her.
Right, right.
But she is very annoying. She's very annoying.
Yeah.
She's a Trump supporter.
Yeah.
No, I'm not saying like to make a joke. She was a Trump supporter.
No, I know she was.
And she actually asked me if I voted for Trump. And I think I told her, I said, you don't need to know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to do the material. How about you listen?
Yeah, I think I pretty much said something to
yeah.
that effect.
Yeah, yeah.
And at one point I said to her husband, I go, she must be amazing in bed.
Yes. Yes, I thought that was great.
And then I sang the words from Bette Midler to him, did you ever know that you're my hero? You remember that?
Yes.
Was I on key? I thought I was all right with
it. Yeah, it was okay.
It was all right.
Yeah.
Singing's never my strength.
No, it was okay.
I thought it was a nice little moment.
With you and the husband?
Yes.
Yes. How was he taking this?
He was enjoying it.
Oh, good.
Because he knows. He's aware.
Well,
he knows he's married to a hot piece of ass who's a pain in the neck.
Yeah. She must be great in bed. Because She was a pain in the neck.
Yeah. I felt the audience was a little slow.
Yeah.
Especially early in my set.
Yes.
I expected more since they were into reading.
And apparently a whole bunch of them were teachers or something.
Right. But here, I made a mistake, which your husband pointed out to me after the show.
Oh.
He goes, yes, they're into reading children's books. Which is a connection I wish I would have made on stage, because I would have called them on it. But it was a very astute observation by your husband. I think he was trying to be funny and completely serious at the same time.
Which he's good at.
Yeah, that was a very good observation by Mr. Helix.
Yes.
So I didn't lash into them. I don't feel like I lashed into them for not getting jokes that they should have gotten.
No, I've seen you eviscerate a crowd for being stupid.
You've seen me eviscerate members of this show.
For being yeah, actually, I still bear the lash marks myself.
Yes, I'm guilty.
But no, you let them off pretty easy.
I thought I was pretty restrained.
Yeah, you were.
I just gave them a look several times, just shook my head.
Yeah, and they actually enjoyed that because, you know, they got that you were disappointed with them. And they laughed like, yeah, I could see.
Yeah, we're fucking dumb.
Yeah, we're stupid. We're giving you a hard time. I didn't get. I don't mean to like jump your story, but I didn't get what was going on with the lady who said you were like, what, you know, you're nodding at me instead of laughing, you know, like this is not what you want in comedy shows. And she said, we're being polite.
Yes.
What was that about?
I think they haven't been to many comedy shows.
Right.
I think maybe I took it as like some of the material I'm doing is kind of edgy and we just don't know how to react to it, so we're being polite.
Yes. Yeah. So
and that's when
like,
I said to her, I go, I'm not making this stuff up. This is real. This is going on in the world now.
Yeah.
Because it was during the current event stuff.
Yeah. You were saying current event stuff that was not even opinion. It was true.
Yeah.
Supported actual facts.
Yeah. Fake news.
Yeah. And they were just kind of looking at you like, I don't know, it's because they didn't know about them or they didn't think it was amusing that they were... I could not get...
It was a weird thing to say.
It was a weird moment.
Yes.
Yeah.
As you said, there were a good amount of teachers in the audience.
Yeah.
And sometimes I forget that when I do kid touching material... Teachers clam up.
Yeah, there's that. They are not.
It doesn't always go that way.
No, but they're not feeling comfortable about laughing at the kid touching material when they're surrounded by their coworkers.
I guess.
That was pretty funny. I know, you're like, where'd they go?
And this was one of those nights where they were going to clam up on the kid touching stuff.
Yeah, and they did. They did.
I felt the audience was more on board on the second half of the show.
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like that was because the material is easier to digest. And also, mainly, I feel like they were warmed up.
They were warmed up by that point.
Because I had warmed them up for myself.
Yes, you did. And they kind of got, okay, he does some edgy stuff, but he's not being mean, actually.
Right.
And once they got a feel for you, then they started to warm up and be like, oh, it's okay to laugh with him because he's not going to be mean to us. He's just like...
And yeah. Again, I also think if I have a host, it goes a lot better.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Because I don't have to warm them up for myself.
Yeah.
And that's why when, you know, I'm with Sidesplitting Productions, when I approach places about doing comedy, I was trying to get the third show, the three comic show,
yeah.
Because I said otherwise the second comic is acting as the host.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting back and the other comic starts, so I walk off. I walk past you.
Yeah.
And you smile.
Yeah.
And I just go, ugh.
You did.
And it was not directed at you, and you knew that.
No, I knew that.
You knew exactly how I felt.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God, yeah.
You knew I was not pleased with this group of individuals.
Yes, I know.
But I think part of it is I'm very hard on myself.
Yes. Well, when you start banging yourself on the head with the mic, I know things are not going well.
Did I do that?
Yes, you did.
Did I do it a lot?
No, but I know that. See, I can read you after all these years.
Yeah,
and
sure.
It's like, I know when you do that, I'm like, uh-oh.
Ruh-roh.
Ruh-roh.
He's displeased.
My give is that I tuck my hair behind my ears when I'm very annoyed. Mm-hmm. I tuck, and so like Mr. Helix, if he sees me doing that from across the room,
he knows to scram.
He zooms over because he's like, uh oh, she's tucking. And one time,
gear trans.
I was so irritated. I was tucking with both fingers, like behind both ears. He said, "I saw a double tuck. I knew I better get over there and defuse whatever's going on."
Great.
So when you banged yourself on the head, I went, ruh-roh.
Well, a comic tell, I actually did, Kevin and Israel and I were working together years ago and at Catch a Rising Star, and we were talking with the other comic, Adam Kerr, and we said, when a comic says to an audience, you guys are great or I'm having a lot of fun, it means we hate you.
It means we hate you, yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
And there was like a show where we didn't like him, and we were just all saying that for each other's pleasure.
yeah. Oh, well, you know.
I don't usually say you guys are great during my act. I guess my act is just my tell is banging my head or.
There's certain things that I can tell.
You know me a lot better than they do, obviously.
Of course, you know. So they don't know, but I'm like, uh-oh.
You knew I wasn't going to bounce off that stage satisfied with myself.
No. You were, I mean, it wasn't like they hated you or wasn't like you were like clearly battling. It was just like, it was just a roller coaster of,
which I called it.
Yeah, you did. And it was like, they liked you. We're not sure if we should laugh. Oh, that's funny. Wait a minute. We don't like that. You know, it was up, down, up, down.
Right. Really like weird. I said, the second half, I felt like I finally got them to where they needed to be.
Yeah, they weren't warmed up for you.
No, it was just, you know, I have expectations. I'm one of these guys that I expect every joke to hit really hard.
Yeah. And or like you, did you make the comment like people usually like laugh at that or
I probably did.
Something yeah. like silence along that line.
And silence is a nice change of pace though.
I think you did say that.
I'm sure I did. So so I was less than satisfied with the audience. It was a fine set. The set was fine.
Yeah.
Just I got people there.
Yeah.
It's a full house. They're promoting literacy. I have expectations. And quite frankly, they did not live up to them.
No, my friends thought you were funny.
And that's what matters.
Yeah.
That is what matters. So, all right. So I'm sitting in the back of the room, and the other comic starts doing the bit that Joe and I had mentioned to you passing on the show.
Yes.
And so you had no idea what we were talking about.
No.
But we had assured you, you would.
Yes. I do now.
When you did the bit, you looked and you gave me like a really look.
I was like, because
I'm sitting in the back. You turned your head like an owl.
I did. I turned and I found him, and I'm like looking at him like, really? This is his act? Really?
Like, I'm involved in it.
I know, like he could do something.
Yeah. So, I thought his set was up and down.
It was.
I thought, he had some. I thought his set was similar to mine, but I thought I ended stronger, whereas, he probably started stronger and kind of petered out.
He started stronger and petered out, and there were some bits where he was just kind of talking about stuff that. It was really hard to imagine that, he was doing some stuff that was supposedly autobiographical, but I was having a hard time suspending disbelief about it.
Right. That's why you got to write. You got to write to who you are, what you are now.
Yeah, because I was like, that doesn't seem authentic.
It's like a thin comic. I've seen thin comics talk about, being fat. It's like, no, you were fat. You have to tell them you were fat.
Yeah.
You can't say you're fat now.
Right.
You have to put the people to where it was. You can still do the joke. You just got
to
change a couple
of
words.
You have to update. Right. Yeah. And it's, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. So, anyway, I'm just trying to find, forgive me. I wrote down a whole bunch of notes.
That's okay. So
you found a joke particularly funny. And you gave me and you looked back and be like, oh, that's good. And I gave you a really look. And you're like, what? Why are you hating on
that
him?
That was good.
Why are you hating on him? I'm like, that's such a fucking hack joke.
Oh, I know which one it was. And then you were like,
later
you said, that's the one that you liked. And I was like, yeah, that was funny. And he's like, and you're like, you've never heard that before? And I was like, no. And he's like, oh, you're so sheltered. there was another one that I recognized that joke. And I was like, and I know I've never seen you before. So why do I know your material?
I ruined it.
No. You didn't tell it. I don't know who told where I've seen that joke. But I was like, yeah, I've already heard that one.
I walked up to you and admonished you accordingly when you were laughing at hack shit.
You did. You did. No.
So he did his other signature bit, which he's been doing for years, and he got some good laughs with it, but a lot of them missed.
Yeah.
You know which bit I'm talking about?
No.
What's it when you make, it's not an anagram, when you use the letters to make the word.
Oh, yes. I forget what they're called.
So you use every letter in a word.
Like scuba, it stands for something.
Exactly.
You know.
So that he's got a signature
bit. About doing that.
Right. And I've seen that go a lot better.
Yeah.
Now, he had some that hit really big.
Yeah.
But then there were a lot that didn't hit. So I don't know. Maybe it's just like the type of thing that you can now find on the internet.
Yes. And so people are like, it's not the first time that they've seen it or heard that bit.
I mean, when I had always seen him do it, I always assumed it was his.
Right.
It might be his. I'm not saying it's not his.
I don't know.
Right, I don't know. But I guess to them, a lot of them go, huh. Or they just didn't go for it, which is possible, too.
Yeah, true.
Because it wasn't an intelligent thing. He's literally telling you what the word means.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's not like, oh, they didn't get that shit. No, you're explaining what it means. That's the joke.
No, he spells it out.
Literally.
Literally, yeah.
So that was kind of interesting
Yeah.
to watch. But I felt the audience overall was similar for me than they were for him.
Yeah, they were. It was spotty. It was strange.
And
then
he goes to them, he goes, I don't know what Davin was complaining about. Like, you're not aware of what's going on.
Right. Right. You're a great audience. Ah!
Yeah, but he actually meant it.
He meant it. And he goes, I don't know what Devin was complaining about. And it's like, well, because your thing is turning on them and saying, like, why aren't you laughing at this? But you do that not in a mean way, but you do it in a funny way. And I've seen that work a lot.
Yeah, I'm trying to, like, because I'm pretty much, let's go, people. We're going to move quick. Some say might too quick, probably correct. We're going to move quick.
Yeah.
Let's get on board. Let's go. Let's go. We're not doing the easy show.
No.
I'm not doing easy pans on your ass shit. Let's go.
Right.
Or you're going to get left behind. And that's really what my show is at this point.
Yeah.
I don't tolerate the stupid.
No. And there were some things that you brought up that they literally did not know the historical or cultural reference at all.
Right.
And they looked at you like, tweet, tweet, tweet. And I was like, wow. Oh, boy.
Yeah. Happens.
As Mr. Helix said, they read children's books.
Mr. Helix was dead on.
He is a lot of the time.
So after the show, he asked me for one of my shirts, which I gave him.
He did?
Mm-hmm. Why do you say it like that? My shirts are lovely. The Be Brave shirt? It's a lovely shirt.
No, I was just wondering who we thought it was going to fit. Oh, that was mean.
I have them in different sizes.
Oh, his size?
He asked for a 2X.
Still not for him.
Well, I don't know.
Sorry.
Maybe it was for somebody else.
I don't know. I was just wondering.
The comic asked me for a shirt.
You give it.
I'm going to give him
a
shirt off my back.
Yeah.
A shirt off my back.
Yeah.
And he said he would mail me one of his. He didn't have them with him.
Okay.
And he said he would. And now he's very aggressive. Hey, Joe.
Hi.
He's very aggressive. When he sells his shirt, so I was surprised he didn't have. He blocks the room, the doorway out.
Who's this?
A comic I worked with last week.
Okay.
You know who it is.
Okay.
He blocks the room, so you can't get the fuck out.
Yeah.
Oh my god!
And you know me, I'll just stand in the corner. I'm like, you buy it, you don't buy it, whatever.
Yeah, come over and talk to me. Buy it or don't buy it.
Ignore me.
Whatever.
I don't give
a
shit. Let's just wrap this up. I want to get home.
I want to back up my stuff and go.
Pretty much. Well, I mean, I'd love to talk to you if you buy something, but don't talk too long because other people might want to buy shit.
I'm surprised that he was being, like, nice and asking for your shirt and stuff when he was kind of rough to start with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't try to figure these fucking guys out anymore.
No.
The comics are so fucked up.
They're
That should have been Joe's intro. We are. I tell people I'm fucked up. I just probably hold it together. The outside package is held together better than most comics.
Yeah,
I'm functional.
There's a lot of really strange. There's a lot of really strange out there.
Right. So everybody I knew, and I don't know if they're going to say otherwise, said they'd like me and see me again.
Oh, cool.
Like the people at the wife's table.
Oh yeah.
Your friends were very nice to me, but you could tell me if some of them didn't get it or thought I sucked. I don't care. It's radio. Probably better radio if they did hate me.
No, they. Oh, okay. Well, no.
I want the honest appraisal. I mean, you're sitting with them.
They told me that they liked you, that they thought you were good.
Oh, good.
They were laughing.
Good. Well, they were getting the jokes.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah. So that's nice.
Yeah, that's got to feel good. You know?
Well, I mean, I'd like for everybody to get the act, but
I know, but maybe. Well, and also, Mr. Helix was like, I don't know. It seems like some of the stuff, like it seems like even if you aren't being like cutting or being really partisan, some people get touchy because they've been like, Trump supporters, they've been attacked for being such for so long.
Well, you said something. You heard something at the table when I was doing the Trump stuff.
Yeah, what? No.
You said, what did you say? Somebody said, doesn't he know where he is?
Oh, no, that was one of my friends. Like, didn't he see? Like,
yeah,
who these
I told
are?
You I'm in between the bowling alley and the tractor store. I know fucking exactly where I am.
Which was the great line. Like, everybody was like laughing at that because they're like, yeah, that really is where we are. Because
I was talking about comparing myself to Amy Schumer.
I know. It's like, it sounds nuts, but that's actually where he's playing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but people always love that. Like, oh, you know, my career is really taking off.
You're a chubby comic girl in her 30s?
Yes.
If that's what it takes. I don't have
yes,
pride,
he
sure.
Is.
You would be too. You could tuck.
Funny.
So I wanted better from the audience.
Yeah.
It was fine. But I was happy my new joke worked. The mesothelioma joke.
Oh, yes. That was really good. Always, and everybody got that.
Yeah. Whenever you can mix mesothelioma into an act and get it to work.
And the funny thing is, you got to take it slow when you say the words so you don't fuck it up.
Right. Or else you'll make a mesothelioma about it.
No, I have a really hard one in the gun bit when I do the extended version of the gun bit where I go, stop, because I'm talking about like how there's a clothing line like made it like the Kevlar line from Stops, Glocks, mm-hmm. Bagosh. That's a fucking bitch.
Oh,
Stops,
man.
Glocks, Bagosh. That's a fucking bitch to say when you're in the middle of your act and I'm a mushmouth anyway and I'm going too fast and I... To fucking slow down and enunciate.
And if you don't say that right, it's going to screw the whole bit up.
Yeah, well, wouldn't it be the first one I fumbled over.
Oops.
But
by the way, it's snowing outside.
Get out.
No.
No, seriously, get out.
No, no.
You're late, get out.
I'm so sick of it.
It's ridiculous. It's not even going to be 60 this week. It's not even going to be 60.
No.
It's supposed to be 60 on Thursday, maybe.
But it shouldn't maybe be 60, and one day out of the week maybe be 60 going into late April.
No, it's crazy. This is crazy.
There's your global warming.
It was such a nice day on Saturday. It was gorgeous.
You had a day. Enjoy it. We move on.
Now it's fall again.
Exactly.
You had that day.
We didn't even get a Saturday night. You go outside Saturday night, it's freezing. I guess we had enough. 12 hours of pleasantness was enough.
Yeah.
I guess that's all we deserve. Now I'm freezing my ass off. So, yeah, I mean, what was your experience? And we'll take our break. And what was your experience of hanging out with your friends and exposing them to me?
Well, you know, there's a certain...
What?
It sounds like he's introducing drugs.
I know. It's like, so...
I'm like the Ebola virus.
You sure are. So,
I understand.
Like, why did you poison us?
Yes! I thought you were our friends.
Yeah. No, no. I mean, I know that you're funny, and I knew that they would enjoy it.
Shut up, you. Thank you. Could have just been a nice moment, but you almost choked on yourself.
No, I was doing some teeth pulling myself over the weekend.
Oh, I guess maybe we will take a couple extra minutes. Let's finish up with this, but if it's an awful story for you, I'll allow it.
Yeah, we need to hear this.
So.
I wasn't even thinking about it in terms of, like, there's some people who, like, over the years, like, if they had a band or something, and I know that some people are more... picky about what they listen to than others, there would be like, oh, I don't think I want to invite so-and-so to see this because this might be really bad, you know? and there's some
she
people...
She looks at my comedy as fast food. Most people can stomach it. It's fine.
No,
you're like
no.
The White Castle of comedy.
I'm the White Castle of comedy. I'm small and I give you the runs.
Oh my God. We're talking about comedy?
It's hysterical.
Oh my God. No, but what you were saying before, like, you know, like your wife, there's a certain amount of pressure that she's bringing work friends because you don't want to be a creep in front of her work friends because then they're like, you're married to this creep?
I thought my creep level was dialed way down.
It was way down. It was way down.
You on your best behavior?
No, you know what it was? I just never really... I don't know what it was. Maybe that was partly in my head. Maybe it was partly because I wasn't feeling the audience and I never really felt comfortable on stage. Like, I mean, I felt like I was fighting for everything. Not like they were bad fighting, but I felt like... I never felt comfortable because I wanted to do different things.
You know, yeah, because, yeah, I know the feeling.
They weren't taking a ride with you.
No, they weren't. Because, like, now I know if I'm really comfortable, I'm kind of moving a certain way on stage now. I'm kind of incorporating, this is going to sound stupid, but I'm kind of incorporating some rock star moves with my hands and everything.
Okay.
And, like, the way I walk around the stage, like, kind of...
Because the audience is giving you that.
Yes.
Yeah. There are nights the audience is giving you that. Yeah. Believe me.
I would never do that before. But now I feel like if I'm doing it, like if they're good, I'm going to allow that. Just kind of like create the next element of the show.
Yeah, yeah. You build your persona in front of them. And if you feel like they're going to go with it, there's some performers that will be, you know, balls out every show, even if there's two people in the room. And there's some people.
I'll
who
be
are
balls
like,
out if they're good.
I'll be balls out every show too. But there were some nights where they're giving you it back, where you could really, you know, you could really get into what you're doing.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you can lose yourself.
And then you can lose yourself.
Yeah.
And then there are nights that you are thinking on your feet. You're pulling every move. You don't know what the hell's going on, but you got to figure it out.
Like this, you know, was that nice. Like, all right.
Yeah. So my Saturday night too. Yeah.
This is a fine show. but I don't feel like moving that way. I got to stay on them. I'm just gonna get through this. This isn't going the way I want it to go. It's building. It'll be fine. Everybody will leave happy.
Yeah. But it's like I can't do anything risky. I can't really like lose
yourself. Right.
And
Walt
said they really liked me.
Okay, cool.
And you know, which is, if we're keeping track now, is 3 times in a row he's seen me with a headliner. Where
you did better than the headliner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And twice in a row in his club.
No, my friends. As a matter of fact, my Wynwood friend posted on Facebook that she was at the show, and she said the first comic did better than the headliner.
There you go.
You know?
She was talking about Walt.
Yes. But, I thought that it went really well, and I wasn't worried about, like, oh, God, I hope they like him so that it does reflect badly on me.
No, but if I eat my dick and suck, they know you're doing radio with me. They're like, why are you wasting your time with? He stinks.
It never occurred to me.
Mr. Helix wouldn't do that.
No. And you know what? It never occurred to me that they would think
that.
Oh,
it occurs to me. It occurs to me.
I know.
It'd be like the same thing, like, if, you know, when you were doing plays.
Yeah. Oh.
You know.
There were some plays that I tell people don't even bother coming.
She's the only one who promotes shit and goes, don't come.
No.
I'm putting this out there just so you don't happen to be there.
No, there were some plays I tried to sell tickets. I tried to get people to come, but I was in one play that I was like, don't bother. Really don't bother.
I'm not even showing up and I'm there.
No, because I knew it was like, oh boy, this is going bad.
So they dug the show.
Yeah, they did.
Good. So I was going to take a break. But then Joe alluded to something that pleases me.
Well, no, the weekend, Friday night was great. I actually picked up a late book, and I actually worked with Adam Ferrara. So it was nice. And my buddy Jimmy came down, who I haven't seen in years.
Nice.
So it was nice that I had a good set that night, you know, and it was a really
fun. To hear about that.
Right.
Yeah, your stuff was good.
We expect you to have a good set.
Bring us the pain.
Yeah, exactly. If you didn't have good sets, you suck. We expect you at this point in your career for the majority to be good sets. It's when you have bad sets that we're intrigued.
Right.
And then really, most of the time, the sets aren't even bad. It's just not like the expectation.
Sometimes you get there. Basically, I did Saturday night. I was up in Connecticut. I was doing a fundraiser for fireworks.
What?
Yes.
What?
The fundraiser was this.
The Grucci family?
Yeah, but it was for they're going to have fireworks. This group of people are going to have fireworks on 4th of July.
Do they know people are dying of cancer? And we could be raising funds for that?
Were they cancer fireworks?
No. It was for the Russian-American Club.
Oh, so you were with your people.
Yeah. Well, I actually did a joke. I go, now Robert Mueller's investigating me.
Funny. Very funny.
I'm
glad you did that. Very good. Did they get it?
No.
Well, they're not allowed to laugh, Joe. They're not allowed to laugh at that.
Oh, my God.
What's Comrade Curry talking about? I thought he was on our side. We saw his Facebook page. We don't understand.
What's Comrade Curry talking about?
Hey! Joe sells those little Russian dolls at the end of the set.
Dolls.
They come out of each other. Trump comes out of Putin, comes out of Mueller.
I hear nice. Billy Joel's Leningrad, I get homesick.
Back in the USSR.
Nothing to see here.
Yeah. But the MC goes up, very funny guy, does a lot of crowd work.
Oh.
You know, and he clearly was not working with the guy I worked with a couple weeks ago. And would have gotten to talking to.
But it gets them all riled up and stuff like that. And I go up. And do you want to hear crowd work and all that? And that's what I don't do. You know, I'm not a crowd work comic, you know?
And why would you try to learn that now?
No, I was just doing straight with
you. So that can be rough when a comic sets a certain pacing to the show and you're not that pacing. Or if they really like the other comic and you have a different type of character, it can take a few minutes to get
that's
the transition.
That's essentially what it was. And I'm not taking anything away from the other guy, and it's my job to follow him, you know?
Well, I mean, listen, most people aren't going to talk to him about raising money for fireworks. You have this guy who's fascinated by it.
Yeah. So, you know, and it's like, all right, and that's what I said when I went up there. So he's a different kind of character. And I got him, you know, and it was a slow going. It took me about maybe 15 minutes to get him going.
Halfway through your set.
Yep. And then I finally dug in and got him. But boy, oh boy, that was an interesting one.
Yeah, it's a shitty feeling. Yeah, I know these jokes work.
But the funny thing is, it's the there was a, just so everybody knows, there was a legendary Thursday night show in Denville, New Jersey. It's called Fireside Comedy.
Betty's Fireside.
Yeah, Betty's Fireside. Legendary in comedy. Leno wrote about how bad that room was.
Oh.
I've done that room.
Yeah, we've all done
I've
that
actually,
room.
I actually have a joke from that room, which I used to do all the time. It might actually be on my first CD that I sold.
Yeah.
A true story. Yeah, it was like no... by the time I got there, it wasn't as bad as it was, but back in the day...
But it was legendary.
You'd be behind the bar.
Yeah.
So they're sitting at the bar, the stage is behind the bar, and they would throw like ashtrays and beer bottles.
Oh, my God.
Legendary.
Yes.
So when I got done, the MC comes up to me and goes, remember Betty's Fireside? You ever work at Betty's Fireside? I go, yeah. He goes, reminds you a lot of like it.
How long has this guy been in the business where he's emceeing?
He probably just doing a fill-in spot.
Okay. I only did it once, maybe twice. So I come off the show. I had a good show. I did not have the prototypical awful experience.
Oh, wow. Okay.
This is years ago.
Yeah.
So a girl comes up to me. I don't know how we got talking. But this is a true conversation, and it was in my act for a long time. She comes up to me.
Yeah.
She goes, you know, if I don't like a guy, when I'm done blowing him, I'll just spit it in his face.
Oh, my God.
This girl had, like, all piercings and everything, and that was in the act. And the joke would be like, oh, you're all looking at me like that's disgusting, and you're right. I'm thinking, wow. I'm thinking to myself, wow, I can be a complete asshole, worst case scenario. I'm still getting a blowjob. But that was actually a conversation that happened at Betty's Fireside.
Oh, that was a rough place. And then then Betty would go, yeah, as rough as it was, as rough and tumble as this place was, Betty would always come, when you go, don't say cunt when you're on stage.
Oh, I never met Betty.
No, I don't know if it was the room manager, but actually a woman. I'm assuming she was Betty.
I don't know. I didn't meet
that. But she's like, yeah, when you go, don't say cunt when you go up there.
That was the only role?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And duck.
Yeah.
Duck. Bring your own chicken wire.
Funny.
So, we've done a lot.
Yes.
We've done an hour and a half. We'll come back on the break. We're going to hear some new music from Johnny Slater with Lights Refracted and Good Talk with Falling Behind. And, of course, you can learn more of them.
I see you.